It's time for the 2014 NFL Draft. Literally, we are within an hour of the first pick, and the Houston Texans are on the clock and at the table with me. I'm Ted Sobel. Ron Marmolewski, our third year we've done this now, Ron, and I want to know your feelings about the depth of this draft and why you think it's the deepest ever.
When we were here a year ago, and Ted, thanks for doing this again.
Yes, of course.
I told you that this draft coming up, this draft that we're 45 minutes away from, was going to be the deepest draft, and there are reasons for that. Number one, last year it was a terrible draft, one of the worst. 240 draft eligible players in my book, which is lower than normal. This year you had 102 underclassmen come out. That was a record, shattered the old record. And that has really added a significant amount of, especially offensive firepower to this draft. We talked last year about how the quarterbacks weren't very good. This year, much deeper. So what we're looking at is over 300 draft-eligible players and only 256 draft-eligible spots.
Wow.
I expect teams to do very, very well after this draft.
Now, we always talk about, and for years, not just on this microphone, about how you rate players and the guys that are unrated and how many of them actually get drafted that disappoints you as the fake general manager, right? And so this year, we talked about the fact that they're going to be guys, GMs, that are, they can't screw it up this year.
Absolutely correct. It's going to be very, very hard for your normal GMs to screw it up because first they're drafting early in a deep draft, and then teams like Cleveland, they have plenty of picks, and with all these draftable players, they should be able to do a far better job than they did in the past. And when I have an unrated draft ineligible player, as we call it, those people over time, and we're talking over 30 years of my doing this, over time, 10% of them are going to stick on NFL rosters, and about 1% or less will ever sniff a Pro Bowl, much less anything else.
I mean,
they just don't work out. And there's typically about 40 or 50 of them in the first five or six rounds each year. Starting with round two, you start seeing one or two. You know, this year, to be honest, I'd be disappointed if there were, if I had 25 unrated players drafted because of how deep this draft
and
is.
And compared to any other year, how much less is that? The least you've ever seen.
Least I've ever seen is 40.
It is, wow.
Yeah, and the most I've ever had in draft-eligible players was in the, let's say, 260.
Right.
So that's why when I say 300 draft-eligible players, I'm not saying future Hall of Famers, but I am saying worthy of draft-eligible players. Talking about the first round alone, there are 32 picks in the first round, 32 teams. I had 19 players graded as first-round picks last year.
Wow.
That's all. I have 42 this year.
How about trades? How many do you expect to see this year? And do you think it'll be a lot different than the past because of the depth? Because everybody has their needs. Now you can trade for your need.
Two schools of thought here. Number one, teams are going to say, we don't have to trade because we're going to get a good player anyway.
Right.
And number two, you have teams, the quarterback needy teams, they're going to say, I want to get my quarterback ahead of so-and-so team.
Right.
Jacksonville ahead of Houston, Cleveland ahead of Minnesota, and so on and so forth. Plus, in the collective bargaining agreement, you can lock a quarterback down or any first-round pick down for 5 years in the first round. If you wait to the second round to draft them, it's 4 years. Hmm. If you get a hit, you've locked them in at a salary in that fifth year.
Okay, so let's talk about the quarterbacks. And for a long time, it's been about Teddy Bridgewater, especially with you. It still is, as according to you, but not according to a lot of GMs. Why do you think it's totally turned around?
Teddy Bridgewater had perhaps the worst day in shorts ever seen.
But that's one day, though.
That was one day. He didn't wear his glove. He panicked. He did a lot of things. Now, people don't want to see you panic on the field.
Right.
However, his ability to read defenses, his ability to make touch throws, his ability to throw wide receivers open, his 71% accuracy, his ability to play in big games. Florida and their great defense just shredded them 2 years ago. And this past year, Miami to Florida did the same. And he was coming out of the game before the bowl game was over. So there's something special about him.
Now, does he have what they call the it factor, though, too, when it comes to being NFL ready right now?
He has the knowledge. He doesn't really. How do you define it factor? Manziel right. has the it factor right. because there's.
But it's a different it factor.
It's a different it factor. But with Bridgewater, it's the factor that you don't have to teach him much. He's ready right. to go and so on. That doesn't mean Manziel's not smart. He tested very smart.
Right.
In his relatively 2 years of college, if you look at it that way. So there are different kinds of quarterbacks. The depth of this quarterback position is really amazing. I see a lot of people sticking around in the NFL for 8 to 10 years or more.
Yeah, but are there stars or are these guys just really good players?
Probably just really good players. Teddy Bridgewater is not Andrew Luck. He's not RG3. He's not some of these quarterbacks. He doesn't have the frame of today's quarterback.
Right.
I mean, had Cam Newton come out 10 years ago, he may not have thrived as much in today's off. You know, he has today's offense now as opposed to then. Whereas some people, they thrive more than Manziel's because the game is changing. The game is changing all the time.
Let's talk about sleepers. And first in the quarterback department, who do you think would be maybe one or two guys that everybody knows about them, but you feel they might be a little higher rated than the other guys are, that they're going to go ahead of them?
The classic one is Georgia's Aaron Murray.
Yeah.
He's about 6 feet, half inch tall. Okay? That's not tall. It's taller than Russell Wilson by an inch and a half or so, if you want to go that way. It's taller than Drew Brees, who right. I model his career after because he has those kinds of numbers. Aaron Murray played well in big games. I mean, it wasn't his fault that he lost some of these shootouts right. to Texas A&M type teams, to Alabama. He had to play in the SEC.
Yeah.
You know. And he has a world of experience. He has the accuracy. He has the poise. If he goes to the right system, I don't see why Aaron Murray can't have a career that's similar to a guy like Drew Brees.
Now, how about somebody, though, like Bortles, who really moved up the list mm-hmm. rapidly the last few months? Before yeah. that, a lot of people didn't know that much about him.
Bortles was on my radar screen partly because I study a lot of football
right.
and I follow UCF football and so on. And he has the frame to be the quarterback. He's, to me, a Ben Roethlisberger light. I was extremely high on Ben. I had him right. number one in the draft. The marriage of him to Pittsburgh was perfect. Bortles has that same ability to have pass rushers fall off him because of his frame, to sidestep people. He has accuracy. What's missing a little bit is that he will be late on a couple of throws, and he won't necessarily throw receivers open with that anticipation. But he's a rookie, and he has a big upside. There's a lot to like about him. Can't predict whether he's going to be a superstar or not. He is certainly in the mix. He belongs in the first round.
Okay, we're less than a half hour away from the first pick. Let's start with Houston. If you were them, do you just say this is an absolute no-brainer, you take Clowney, or do you think about the trading factor and maybe adding more depth from different picks?
Win-win situation for Houston because, number one, they're not a typical first draft team.
Right.
I mean, they come off 2 years where they had Super Bowl aspirations,
yeah.
and now they're drafting first. What a great position to be in because you have a really good defense. You have Arian Foster coming back. You have two good wide receivers, the rookie from last year and Andre Johnson. Your team is ready to go, but it needs a quarterback, and that's their dilemma. When do you get the quarterback? What quarterback are they looking at? Does Clowney fit their system? In an ideal world, they'd be better off than the Rams pulling off a big trade because the Rams had to start from scratch to go
right.
from bottom up. Houston has to go from middle or upper middle up. If they floated it out, and I still think, we're 25 minutes away, and I still think Atlanta's thinking about a blockbuster deal with them.
Really?
And what I think for Houston, it's a win-win situation. Do they get next year's first round pick plus a second pick this year and something else, another second next year to build the draft over 2 years, to trade down just to six where they could still get an elite offensive tackle? They might still get somebody really strong on the you know, they can get a pass rusher in that area if they want that. They can get certainly get a cornerback easily at six. There's a, an offensive tackle easily.
It's very tempting, though, to make those deals so you can get a little bit more on your roster as opposed to one key guy. And the question is, I keep hearing it, Clowney going into a 3-4 defense, does that really matter? I mean, you'd think he'd be able to adjust if he's that good of an athlete, and the coaching staff adjust to him too and make him who he's supposed to be.
Yeah, I hear things, and I agree in part that he's not perfect for the scheme they run, but they're interchangeable parts. You could blitz from any kind of area. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers have done that for years in terms of how you use somebody. I think it would be a good fit for Clowney because Bill O'Brien is not a soft coach. It would be hard coaching. And he's used to something from Spurrier. He needs that. He needs that in his contract year. He needs that after he signs a big contract. Because when he makes a play, you know it. He is certainly the best playmaker in this draft.
We don't have a lot of time. But the thing about Clowney, though, that still is a question mark for me. If you're the number one pick overall, I want a little bit of everything. And if you're questioning the work ethic of a guy, that bothers me.
He's good in shorts and he's good in pads.
I guess
he took times off
and that kind of stuff. I mean, maybe it's a red flag and maybe it isn't.
Not a red flag to me. It's just whether Houston just is able to get three really great players or stick with one great player.
So if you're the GM, what do you do?
If I'm the GM, I play hardball with Atlanta and see what they're willing to give up. And as the clock ticks, if it's the right deal, I take it. If not, I say I'm happy with Clowney.
And you're definitely taking Clowney, though, if you have the pick, is what I'm saying.
Right. And I know there's some sentiment for Mack as the next pick.
Right.
But I have many more concerns about Mack, even though he's a very complete player. He could do a lot of different things. He's been prolific within the Mack. Some say he didn't show up perfectly for the bowl game, which was against San Diego State, not exactly a top 20 team.
Right.
Everybody points to his tape, his wonderful tape against Ohio State. Do I think he belongs in the top five? Yes. Do I think Mack's the number one pick in the draft? Personally, no.
Okay, so your number two pick is St. Louis. What do you do? Because they got options too.
With St. Louis, I think that best thing they could do is probably trade out a little bit, maybe with Atlanta. Maybe
by the
Atlanta
way, we might be in the war room here. That you hear the phone ring in the background.
I think that's Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is asking me, how can I mess up the Dallas pick right now?
You want Johnny Manziel there, Jerry?
For him, yeah. He could still be.
We'll get to him in a minute.
Yeah, I like to use a lot of sarcasm in my draft reports. It's going to be harder to do that with such a deep draft, but maybe Jerry could provide it. But going back to the Rams, I think the Rams favor Matthews over Robinson at offensive tackle. If they favor Robinson, just pick him because he's the elite. These two offensive tackles are so much better than the top two picks in last year's draft.
In other words, you really can't go wrong, right?
Can't go wrong. And I read something today where it said if there was a Super Bowl for trading draft picks, the Rams would be the champion because they've done it for years. He manipulates the draft board, but at some point you got to take the draft picks and make yourself a playoff team, even if you're in the NFC West.
But this is really a golden opportunity for Jeff Fisher to create his own team right now.
Yeah, this is year three of it, and by the end of this year, he will have done it.
Yeah.
If he wants Matthews, he could easily go to six and get him, which means that he'll be getting other stuff in the meantime, and he can fill three spots for two. If he wants Robinson, just stay and do it, because they could get at 2 and 13 their top two needs easily, an elite safety and an elite offensive tackle. No need, really, to maneuver.
Okay, the third pick is Jacksonville, coming off a 4-12 season. They have a lot of needs. So what do you do, GM?
They have a lot of needs. They're building the right way. They have the right coach.
They moved to L.A., of course.
Before they moved to L.A. But I think what they're looking at is, do we take Mac, because he's probably going to be there unless Atlanta moves ahead of him.
Right.
Or do they take Sammy Watkins, because they have a wide receiver problem. Their current wide receiver is suspended more games than he plays. Their number two wide receiver, people don't even know his name. And it's a passing league.
Right. The biggest problem is that you can't find the wide receiver if you don't have a quarterback either.
They have Chad Henne, who's
serviceable.
We've talked offline.
Yes.
About how many starting quarterbacks there are in the league, and the number is probably less than the number of teams there are in the league.
That's the problem.
But Chad Henne is one of the top five, you'd say, backup quarterbacks, right, if not the top.
Yeah, but the problem is he's not a backup with this team.
I think Jacksonville is in the market for a trade-up to get somebody like Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
I would be surprised if they didn't go with either Watkins or Mack and then quarterback.
That makes a lot of sense. How about Cleveland? Because they have a lot of needs, too. And there's a ton of talk that they like Bridgewater.
And they could get him. Everybody said it was Carr. Everybody said it was Manziel at 4. They've dropped off that.
Right.
The intel out there now is that they paid $100,000 for somebody to study the quarterbacks. That's out there. You can find it on the web.
Who did they pay? I want to know that. I want to interview him.
Yeah, that was a good move. And what they found, what they got out of that was Teddy Bridgewater is the guy. And he wasn't number one with them, but they got the $100,000 worth of information. And now they're liking him a little bit over Carr, but they're willing to take either one, either at 26, or I think we're talking about trades, who wants to trade, who doesn't want to trade. Baltimore at 17 is a trade down, you know, trade back. Green Bay at 21 is a trade back. These are landing spots for teams like Cleveland or teams trying to get ahead of Cleveland. And Cleveland has 7 of the top 127 picks, so don't blow it this year.
Yeah, or they could go after a Watkins too, though, right?
Yeah, they'll take, what I think they're going to do is take who's ever left between Watkins and Mac.
Right.
And they can't go wrong.
Exactly. So they're in a good spot. Yeah. And they absolutely can't blow it this year.
No, too many highly rated people.
I mean, even if they tried.
Yeah, too many highly rated people. New GM there. I've heard it's not Kevin Costner, though.
By the way, one team that can blow it is next. The Oakland Raiders. I mean, who knows what they're going to take?
Well, if I'm correct, well, let me put it this way. I don't want to be correct with the Oakland Raiders pick because I never really want to align with what their thinking is. They've either drafted a bunch of quarterbacks or they've traded for quarterbacks. They took Carson Palmer in a trade. They let him go. They took Matt Flynn from Seattle. They let him go.
Everybody does that with Matt Flynn, though.
that part is true. What do they do? I mean, they could shock everybody. What I think they want to do, and their jobs are on the line, there's no question about it. But McKenzie comes from the family, the Green Bay family, that you trade back in the draft.
Right.
They traded back last year from 3 to 13. They desperately want to trade back. If they're forced to draft here and if Sammy Watkins is on the board, when's the last time they had an elite wide receiver? It's been a long, long time. They tried with Haywood Bey at the 7th pick a few years ago. If we would have done this podcast then, you would ask me where he was on my draft board then.
And you were still looking for him.
Yeah, he was way down. He was not a first-round pick. Where he would be in the deepest wide receiver draft I've ever had, 17th. But they need a wide receiver. And whether they take him or whether they take Mike Evans, it wouldn't be a bad thing to start with somebody who could catch a pass.
Let's start with Atlanta at number 6 and what you think they'll do.
I still think they're in the mix. We're now 20 minutes away. They're in the mix for number 1 or number 2. If they stay where they are, I think they'll end up going offensive line over the pass rusher unless they like Barr of UCLA. Because they really need pass rushing.
Number 1?
No, Barr.
I mean, at number 6. Yeah, right.
It's a little high for Barr.
Oh, right.
But the bottom line is Atlanta finally addressed cornerback with 2 early picks last year. Now they have to get somebody who could actually put pressure on the quarterback. Otherwise, the cornerbacks are asked to cover too long. Can't be done in the NFL with the rules the way they are.
Tampa Bay, number 7. I know some people are saying that Johnny Manziel it was sort of perfect for their situation. What do you think? Is there any chance at all?
I would say there's a chance, but you've got 2 quarterbacks there right now. I know they're openly trying to trade last year's surprising rookie, Mike Glennon. And, you know, they brought in Chicago's quarterback because reuniting him with Lovie Smith. So what are you going to do, invest that much money on that position when your defense was really, really poor last year? I think that...
More wide receiver for them?
For Tampa, yeah, there's a void there. They have 1 wide receiver. There's a chance Evans falls there.
Right.
They can take him. Beckham is rising on draft boards. they could go pass rusher. They could go cornerback. There's a number of different directions. They could go Donald, the Pittsburgh defensive lineman, undersized, but stuffs the run and rushes the quarterback. And Donald's probably in the 7 to 14 range of where he's going. So this would be the earliest.
So if you're the GM, who do you take?
If I'm the GM, I'm going defense if Mike Evans is gone.
Right. Okay, otherwise you want Evans.
Otherwise I want Evans. And I haven't been high on Evans, but I'm trying to find a right spot for him.
It's a fit.
It's a fit.
Okay. Let's talk about Mini, because you never know what you're going to get out of them in the last 20 years.
What Mini has finally done well is they have a coach.
Right.
Mike Zimmer is one of my favorite guys. I mean, he led in the, well, I think it was around 1999, Dallas, before Jerry Jones let him go or whatever happened, Dallas had a pass defense percentage of under 50%. Mike Zimmer was their coordinator. Wherever Mike Zimmer's gone, Cincinnati, he's done wonders.
Yeah, I mean, really, the only question about him is he truly a head coach? Yeah. One of the, because sometimes it just doesn't transfer that way.
You never know, but he's got what I think is the demeanor and temperament to do that. Now he needs the players.
Right.
I think they want Bortles or Bridgewater. I think they want to get Bortles or Bridgewater at 16, Dallas moving up, or somewhere where a team will go. They want to go back in the draft.
So definitely they're looking to trade.
They're looking to trade back, I believe. I believe 8's a tough spot for them because they could use some cornerback safety help. Those are first rounders. There's a lot of cornerbacks and safeties that have first round grades, but I don't have top 10 grades on them.
Right.
And they know that picking there, it's not as much value.
Right. Can so they're in a great spot. They could maybe get an extra pick too, right? And then do what they want to do.
And so I definitely think they're going to get a quarterback.
They better.
Probably by pick 40, or
right.
I think that's their pick.
Right.
But probably in the first round with a trade up or a trade back.
Into the teens, probably.
Yeah. At the latest, somewhere ahead of Cleveland again at 26.
Right. That makes sense. Buffalo is next at number 8. And, you know, I mean, they're a team that just every year, I thought they were getting better, and then they went backwards again. So, I mean, what do you think they need the most to at least to get off to a good start in the draft?
Let's get one prediction off the record quickly.
Okay.
If they draft reasonably well, I predict they'll make the playoffs for the first time in whatever it is, 14, 15 years, the longest drought. That's where Buffalo is. They can get a quality tight end, the number one tight end on the board, or they can get the number 3 offensive tackle.
Right.
And I think those are the two positions they look at.
The Michigan guy?
Mission guy, Taylor Lewan.
Right.
Tough guy. He's going to create a lot of good plays and a few over-aggressive penalties. But if you need that position, you know, it's hard to fill left tackle in the third round.
Detroit is next at number 10. Are they drooling because they know there's at least 15 receivers out there available?
Yeah. Well, if we had more time, I can give you an article about the fact that in 14 years, they've drafted somewhere around 15 defensive backs. One has made it.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
And that's it. And he's not even on the team anymore. He left via free agency. I know cornerback is their number one need. I know, and the draft, and you know, my fellow draft analysts know that cornerback fits here. Most of them are projecting a cornerback here, especially a guy like Gilbert who can return punts. Detroit has been typically bottom 5 in returning punts, bottom 5 in pass defense, fill 2 roster spots with one person. So naturally, I don't think they're going to take him.
Okay, and so who do you think? But do you think they will, though, seriously? Or?
No, I think they won't. I'll be pleasant.
Wow.
When I see it, I see
but
it.
But you would, obviously.
I would.
Yeah, no question. Let's
I've
go to number 11.
5 years.
Tennessee, they need a lot, several things, but secondary?
Secondary, absolutely. Verner's gone. They need to replace him. And my biggest question is what they do with the second round pick, because, you know, they did not exercise the option on Jake Locker.
Right.
And they're in a crying need of a running back, and they're going to take a running back, I believe, in the second or third round, and there's going to be a quote-unquote run on running backs starting with them. And there's two that I project will go between about 37 and 45 in the draft, not in the first round, but there. But in the first round, absolutely, cornerback makes sense.
New York Football Giants at number 12, is it pretty much a lock they're going for the tight end?
If he's there, they're looking at him, but they're looking very carefully at hoping that Lawan of Michigan is there, because they really have played revolving door at left tackle, not having a true left tackle. Now, if you ask me who I would select, it's nobody they're looking at, and nobody any of my fellow analysts are looking at. But this team has ignored linebacker way too long, and Alabama's Mosley is camera ready. He's an inside linebacker primarily, even though he can play the other spots. He's not a sacker. That's not what the Giants need. What they need is somebody to be the Luke Kuechly of their team.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Back to the Rams at 13 again, assuming they're still going to be there.
If they're there, I think they're going to trade back, especially if we haven't heard the names of Quentin Dix or Calvin Pryor, the safeties, or if we haven't had that cornerback run. So I think they just like to trade. But honestly, if they got Dix and Robinson or Dix and Matthews, just call it a day.
Chicago Bears are next. Are we talking DBs for them?
They want Aaron Donald more than anything. They'll settle for a Pryor, a Dix, or anybody at cornerback. Again, in this first round rich, talent rich draft, they're going to do all right, but it's got to be defense.
And Pittsburgh, how about their defense?
It has to be a cornerback. Ike Taylor is 34. You can't even name the other guys that are there.
But I can name that several guys that are getting old, too. I mean, that team's got to get good fast. From the draft.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if a cornerback wasn't their pick.
And who would be your guy?
Gilbert if he drops. Denard is a press corner, which would add a new dimension to their team. And there's a couple of others they've looked at. But there's four in the mix. Definitely four in the mix. And they would do fine with any of them.
Okay. Dallas Cowboys at 16. Okay, Mr. Jerry Jones, what do you do?
I think they're either... He's traded his pick either 20 of 23 or 23 the last 26 years in the first round. So based on that, they're either going to go up for Donald or Barr. And we haven't mentioned Barr that much, so maybe they could stay there and get him.
Yeah, that's true. You never know.
You know, though Chicago could get him or somebody else, or a New York Giants for that matter. Or they trade back because Cleveland or somebody gets their quarterback at 16.
Right.
So they can go from 16 to 6 with Minnesota, or they can go from 16 to 26 with Cleveland. Either way, it looks like it's going to be an offensive lineman
or a front seven
defensive person to replace Ware.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Baltimore, 8-8 season, very disappointing. What do you think their needs are and immediately for that first pick?
I think they'd love to see Ebron drop to them, the tight end. It's possible that he would. That would solidify that position, give them that two tight end look again that they copied, mimicked New England in that one draft a few years ago. But I think they could use a safety. They can use a guard or a right tackle with Oregon.
Right.
So they have a number of needs, but I think they'll trade back.
And the New York Jets.
Jets might be surprising. Don't be surprised if they move up. Nobody's talked about it. Don't be surprised if they have their eyes on. I know everybody's putting my friend Cooks, from Oregon State there, but I think they want Beckham.
Really?
And I think if it was up to their coach, they want a cornerback. And if they got Denard a press cornerback for that team, and you know that Ryan loves to play the press coverage, I think cornerback would be a great fit. But wide receiver would be a great fit, too.
How about the Miami Dolphins? Are we looking at the offensive line?
If they look anywhere else, we have our first sarcastic statement of the year.
Let's
coming
do it.
Up.
Well, I think we're already ready.
they're looking at a fast linebacker from Ohio State, but let's face it. This team needs a minimum of three. I know they got one, Albert, that they wanted a year ago when we were talking, and now they got him this year. There's still three more spots, maybe even four more spots if Pouncey goes on suspension.
Okay, Arizona, who would you choose for their first pick?
Arizona can almost go a best player available. If a draft-dropping
That should be a lot of guys at that stage, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. They could go with a draft-dropping offensive lineman.
Right.
They could go with any defensive back that falls. They could go with one of these speedy linebackers. They could go with Mosley. I know people are going to say they could look at quarterback, and I think they will. I think they have two or three in mind. I'd love to see actually Aaron Murray on this particular team.
How about Bortles?
Bortles is fine too. I think they can get by. They can't get by with Carr.
Right.
Because I don't think their offensive line can support him. He would unfortunately be like his brother.
Yes, we know about the cars. That was the car crash is what that was.
So they could go in a number of different directions, but I think it's all good for them too.
Okay, Green Bay Packers at 21.
This is a hard team to evaluate. I think everybody has them pinned for a linebacker, maybe Mosley or Shatsier of Ohio State. I don't think they're going to be that predictable in this spot, and I think they will be looking to trade back as well.
Other defensive needs, though, they have.
They could go for somebody in case they lose Raji down the road. You know, they could go for one of these run-stopping tackles
right.
that we have not mentioned, Jernigan or Nix,
right.
or Tuitt, two of the three from Notre Dame who had a very fine run defense.
How about Kansas City? Do you go receiver with them?
Have to go receiver. They're going to look guard, perhaps, in a wide receiver deep group. They may go guard. Not a bad fit if the guard's ready to play. They've taken too many not-ready-to-play offensive linemen. Not in the Reed regime, but then Reed did that in Philly as
right.
well. They need. I think Lee is the perfect choice. Now, I was a part of one of these mock drafts.
Right.
And what I did is I traded back from 23 to 31 and then back up ahead of 30. And I got Marcus, you know, I got Lee in that spot, Marquise Lee.
Yeah, sure. Cincinnati at 24.
I think it's cornerback. Now, they have a need at offensive guard to replace one guy, one of their starters, Anthony Collins. They have a need on the defensive line because Johnson left. So it's those two positions or cornerback. I think they're going to hone in on Roby.
Oh, that's interesting. And speaking of cornerbacks, San Diego, the next pick, they could use one too.
Absolutely. They could use one because their pass defense was either last or tied for last year in terms of percentage. That's a missing link for a team that's on the rise. They may have the right coach. Certainly they can use a few other positions, a number two wide receiver you can get later.
Do you have a specific guy, though, that you think would be good for them?
It's not going to matter because so many teams, they're the last of the cornerback run. They're going to get who's ever left.
Oh, okay.
So it could be Verrett of TCU. It could be Roby. Their hands are tied.
Right. We basically talked about Cleveland at 26 yeah. and their options there. 27, New Orleans. I guess you got to help out their the other Ryan and Rob Ryan, right, on yeah. D or no?
Everybody's saying wide receiver.
Really?
Which surprised me. They have Cooks going here. They have a couple of other ones going here. I wouldn't really want to see wide receiver here. I'd like to see them take one of these draft-dropping linebackers because linebackers typically drop, especially if they don't have the pass rush skills.
Anyone that's specifically, though, that you could think of who would fit what Rob Ryan does over there?
I'd have to look back a little bit at my notes there. You know, I think what they'd like to do, I don't have anybody in particular, but I'd love to see them get Pryor if they drop that way.
Right.
If they want a hard-hitting box safety, a guy not mentioned is Washington State's Buchanan.
Huh.
And he's an interesting guy. He really burned Chip Kelly's team when he was at Oregon, so I have a feeling Oregon might have their eye on him. I mean, Philly may have his eye on him, too, but they could look safety. You know, you want to shore up the back end.
28 is Carolina, coming off a great season, and they're not like an elite team, but maybe this draft could get them close, right?
That's wishful thinking, unfortunately. You know, my thought is, in the offseason, they got worse.
Right.
Every receiver who caught a pass was gone.
Right, that's true.
They've added only two guys. Jordan Gross, their future Hall of Fame left tackle, retired, and two other guys left, so they're three-fifths of their offensive line starters are gone. Their entire wide receiver group is gone, and their pass D was no good. And
but
Captain Munerlin is gone, too.
He's my favorite guy in the league because I love his name. But this is the kind of draft, though, that you could fill the voids of some of that, potentially, right?
Yes.
Some of it.
Some, but here's another caveat.
What?
Carolina doesn't have enough picks.
Oh, that is a problem.
So the ideal situation for them, even though they're going to get a good guy there, is they've got to trade back and stockpile picks in this draft or do what I usually do not recommend. But for teams like this, you have to mortgage a pick next year because the 30th pick in this draft, you know, might be the 60th best player next draft.
Yeah.
So,
and you also don't want to fall too far behind this year coming off a great year because you're killing momentum with a potentially good team, but all of a sudden you lose three, four guys. It's going to be tough to recoup quickly.
And you know that division.
Yep.
I mean, the last will be first and the first will be last.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's no guarantee.
Speaking of first, New England is next at 29. And what does Mr. Belichick do now? Because he's Mr. Unpredictable here.
Most likely they're trading out. If they stay, New England and Pittsburgh are the best two teams over time drafting in the first round. So they recognize talent. If they stay, there's no intel on what they might do.
What would you do?
What would I do? I would get a cover corner because they always need one, even though they got to rent a cornerback this year. But they could go with nose tackle, thinking that Will Fork's off injury. He's got a couple years left. They could get Tuitt there. They could get Nix there. Nix is being undervalued, I think. They could even get Jernigan. I would just take any of these first-round talents that's up and down the draft board on defense.
Next is San Francisco at 30. And, I mean, is that just pretty much best player on the board? Because they really are pretty solid in a lot of spots.
They've got 11 picks. They're most likely trading up. This is the team that's going to go up. Now, do they go up ahead of the Jets at 18 if they think the Jets are taking wide receiver? They're looking at Beckham. They wouldn't mind Cooks. There's a few wide receivers they're looking at. Personally, I don't mind trading up when you got 11 picks and about five roster spots you need, but I'd like a cornerback. If they're going to miss out on the cornerback because San Diego's the last part there, and they don't have any left, to be honest, if you look at their roster, I'd trade up and get a cornerback. It doesn't have to be the first cornerback off the board, but it has to be in that elite four cornerback run.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Number 31 is Denver, and just more protection for Manning or what?
Yeah, and they're looking offensive guard. They like the UCLA guard if he drops this low. They have us. There's a couple of guys. The guard, this is the one position offensive guard that's not deep in this draft.
Right.
It drops off drastically. So you have some offensive
tackles
who are interchangeable.
So about three guys then, are you saying? Or
first round grades one.
Oh, okay.
So this is not a deep draft for offensive guard. However, you have offensive tackles who can slide to offensive guard.
Okay.
So you have a number, you have a dozen offensive tackles that are really, really good, and three or four of them could easily end up guards. They look that direction perhaps, but they haven't finished on defense. I know they got veterans on defense. I would like to see them get a linebacker.
And then finally, number 32, the champion Seattle Seahawks. How about another receiver?
They need a receiver. Predicting
but
Seattle
a good draft
is impossible.
For it too, though, right?
Yeah. I think what they could do is wait on receiver. I think what they're going to do is wait anyway. They only have six picks. They're not used to that. They're used to 10. I would make it 90% probability they're out of the first round, especially if somebody wants to get ahead of Houston and get that fifth-year option quarterback right there. I think Seattle's out of the first round, and I think they're looking – no, I won't even pretend to guess what they're looking at, but offensive
it's
line
Pete
is
Carroll.
A possibility.
Right, you never know with Pete. And by the way, they are just now about to announce the first pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, and I like the timing of this because if they take Clowney as we expect them to do, or if there's a trade, I mean, that changes so much of everything we talked about, doesn't it?
Mock drafts the best of the group, and I have access to the best of the group, not the TV ones, but the best of the group.
Right.
You know, they're happy if they get 9 exact hits, 10 exact hits, 11 exact hits, and about 29 to 30.
You're talking about total in the first round.
In the first round.
Right.
And, and typically they have about 30 out of 32 that are correctly in the first round. I think you're going to see a lot of people have about 24 first-rounders.
Wow.
Because if I have on my board 42 legitimate first-round picks, and maybe some of them are not other people's first-round picks, but
pool is huge.
Yeah, I think the over-under in terms of number of correct picks by an educated mock drafter this year would be about 5.5.
Okay, literally as we speak, there's just under 9 minutes left on the clock here for Houston. So do you assume that they're on the phone right now with Atlanta and maybe a couple of other teams just saying, okay, if you really want this pick, you're going to give me a lot.
Yep. There's only two things that are happening in their draft room right now. Their war room people are saying, we're sure it's Clowney. It's not anybody else.
Right.
It's not Mac. And then the one
now overwhelm us.
Yeah.
Right?
And now, And the only other thing that's going on is the hotline is going and say, Atlanta, dare or not dare, there's no other team. It's Atlanta, in my opinion. It's Atlanta, or let's turn in the clock. Here's where we are.
Okay, and Atlanta, do you think, is saying what to them?
And Atlanta is saying, we can't give you any more. This is the best deal. If you really don't want Clowney, that's fine. But this is what we're going to do. We have other options. We could go up for an elite left tackle and trade with the Rams. We're not that desperate. But in my mind, Clowney would make their team. If they took Clowney, if they got Clowney, Atlanta, I'd immediately make them the favorite in that division. Okay. One player.
Wow. Okay, to wrap it up, give me one, two, three teams, whatever's on your brain right now, who you think will do a great job in this draft and really make a difference for this upcoming year.
I can answer the first part for St. Louis. They'll do a great job in this draft.
Whether they try or not.
whether they move up because they have to play all the NFC West teams.
Right.
You know, twice, plus they have to play all the AFC West teams this year is another story. Who I expect to do well in this draft?
Because I know you don't expect to do well because they usually don't. But, I mean, it's an interesting thought because it's an opportunity to tell people not only I think they're going to have a good draft, but I trust what they're doing. Yeah. Who is it that you trust?
I trust Cincinnati.
Right.
I don't trust Cleveland, but I don't think they can blow it.
But we also don't know. This is also a new.
I expect them to do well.
Right, and this is also a new Cleveland regime, so we don't really know what to expect from them.
And I expect, and let me give you a general statement, I expect a minimum of 30 teams to do it right with their first pick in the draft.
But there's not one team. So what you're saying Cincinnati as much as anybody.
Cincinnati has 19 of their 22 starters that they built through the draft, including 14 in the last few years. Smallest scouting staff, best drafting grades.
Wow, that's great. He's Ron Marmolewski. I'm Ted Sobel. There's literally exactly 6 minutes left on the clock for the Houston Texans to take the first pick. And by the time we're done with this, you're going to know a long time ago who it was. Thanks again, Ron.
Thank you, Ted.
All right, we'll do it again next year. See you, folks.